Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 17, 2020. Appeal to ordinary people. I do not appeal to those people who handle power and money. I turn to ordinary people, to ordinary citizens, explaining to them what form of relations our society should come to, what connections between us we should have so that there will be no viruses. This does not require intervention of governments and financiers, police, courts, etc. It is only necessary for ordinary citizens to understand what will benefit them. The world is revealed to us as an integral one, and if we relate to this integral world according to its true form, then we will benefit from it. If there is a system in front of me that I cannot work with, of course, I will not be able to use it correctly. If I am familiar with this system, with the forces that work in it, then I can control it. Otherwise, we invade the system of nature and destroy it all. When I try to look at the world as an integral system where everyone is connected together, I suddenly find that my perception of reality is changing. I will see how all of the connections are locked, and I join them. This will allow me to get involved in the system and feel the force acting within. Everything is connected in one system, inanimate nature, plants, animals, and people. If we want to live well, we must take this into an account. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson May 4, 2020, Connecting the World in the Last Generation. Seeds of Exile, Part 1. The confrontation between the Maccabees and the Hellenists. Question: what was the ideological conflict between the Maccabees and the Hellenistic Jews? Answer: the opposition was that the Maccabees were in favor of uniting the people under one common principle so that all were like brothers who felt the inner unity of each other. And the Hellenists were for proclaiming each person free, independent, not worshipping the one God, that is, the one force, nature, and, accordingly, the one uniting principle. Each person chose from a large host of gods to worship, as in ancient times when people worshipped trees, stones, celestial forces, stars, etc. As a result, there was a huge difference between them in their ideology, behavior, and attitude toward each other. In principle, the Hellenists existed each by himself. Their state was held only by bayonets, despite the fact that later they were guided by reasonable methods borrowed from the Jews after the conquest of Israel. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 8, 2019. What do we need to pray for? Question: does the Creator answer only correct prayers? Answer: he answers all prayers. Question: if, for example, a person needs money to pay off his deficit with a bank, and he is as if unconsciously praying, is this situation of needing money already a prayer from the point of view of Kabbalah? Answer: of course. It is the disclosure of any desire. Question: suppose he takes a prayer book and begins to pray for money. Will money appear? Answer: no. The Creator does not respond to such selfish requests. After all, a person will then think, I have prayed and received, which means I should pray more. It just means that the Creator does not let him go. And if it seems to a person that he has received an answer, then this is also the Creator's will that he would still think so. Question: what if he is asking for money not for himself, not egotistically, can he get it? Answer: I cannot imagine that. There are no prayers at all for fulfillments in our world. Question: what about prayers for health? Answer: this was invented later. Although, in principle, we need to pray only for getting closer to the Creator, and this is the fulfillment of all our desires. From CapTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 1, 2019. The Secret of True Pleasure. Question: In one of your interviews I heard that in order to be filled with light, one needs to be completely free from his ego. Is egoism also enjoying the beauty of nature, of the human body, of pictures and sounds? Answer: we do not need to think about how and what to be filled with. We receive this anyway and it has nothing to do with us. We only need to think about how we want to develop. Enjoying nature, sounds, pictures, colors, which may be positive human impulses, has nothing to do with the wisdom of Kabbalah, and you can continue to enjoy them. Kabbalah is about attaining the source of life, the force that sustains all of nature and includes our universe and us. Therefore, we do not suggest that a person gives up any of the pleasures in this life. Absolutely not. You can continue engaging in anything you wish. But if you are seriously engaged in Kabbalah, it will begin to capture you and move your interests to spirituality. You will be more interested in the causes and effects of your actions. Kabbalah introduces you to the system of world management, the system of the universe. This is somewhat different from discovering birds singing or a riot of colors. It is good to hear that you are already beginning to realize that Kabbalah is the source of wisdom. This science was revealed to humanity 6,000 years ago. There truly is something to learn from it. It is infinite, deep wisdom of the laws of nature, which reveal an absolutely complete, interconnected picture of the universe. In our world, we study biology, zoology, physics, chemistry, thousands of kinds of sciences about the world around us. And Kabbalah is a single science that unites and unfolds before us all of nature as one single whole. We are in this one whole as are all the worlds, including our world, and all their manifestations from the beginning of creation to its end. One science, one approach, opens everything to you. Therefore, this is a unique attainment. Question: but at the same time, we do not cease to feel the beauty of nature, to love classical music, etc.? Answer: it is all true. I also love classical music, I feel and enjoy the beauty of nature. I am generally a simple, ordinary person. But at the same time, the interconnection of all parts of nature that Kabbalah reveals to us provides us with such a pleasure from mutual connection, mutual complementation of all parts, all laws, everything that happens, that it is precisely in this attainment of the merging of all properties, laws, and thoughts from beginning to end, in the attainment of the unity of nature that a person finds true happiness and satisfaction. You begin to understand the extent to which every particle, every thought, every motion is mutually connected with nature eternally. Whatever happens, everything has its organic place in the system. It is actually the attainment of unity that gives man immense pleasure. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2nd, 2020. New Life 1221. The Exodus from Egypt in the Coronavirus Era.
שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו, אנחנו כאן עם חיים חדשים, סדרת התוכניות.
Thank you for joining us here in New Life series with Rav Lechman. Hello Rav Lechman, hello everyone. We're in the days of Corona in two different studios. This program is 1221. I'd like to discuss with Rav Lechman about the feeling in the air during Passover that the 11th plague, it's like we entered 2020 and we're writing the next chapter in the Haggadah of Passover. And I wanted you to do a little order for me, help me understand these matters, because we know that at the end of all the blows, there's something very good that comes out. There's an exodus to freedom, there's freedom from slavery, there's the freedom, and we want, it is very attractive, and I hope that we too will, at the end of this whole blow, we'll come to something good. It's probably some process, and we'd like to scrutinize this together with you. And the first question is in general. Do you think there is a parallel between the plagues, the blows on Egypt, and what we're going through right now? And if there is, what is this parallel? The whole process that humanity is going through is in order to adapt people to the upper world, meaning to bring us to being one man and one heart, to love and connection, to one humanity, to one system. Like the whole system is one integral system and all its parts are connected. And if we see it's the opposite, that one is devouring each other and it's dog eat dog, and each places himself in existence just so that he would just use the other. It's all in order for a person who's in the system in the highest degree of development. His ego influences below upon all the previous degrees, all the degrees of still, vegetative, and animal, and therefore with his influence upon them corrupts them. And if a person were not to influence badly upon the lower degrees, then in truth we would have a lamb eating in the wolf, like it's written in the latter days, that a lamb would live with a wolf. Yes. So I understood the big goal of the whole developmental process humanity is going to is to bring us to connection and of love and mutuality between all the parts of nature. Did I understand that correctly? Every single one of the details, completely. Okay, I understood. Now, a question about our times. According to your perception, are we living in historical times? Are we truly writing another chapter in the Haggadah of Passover? Rav Lightman, yes, and this is what the Kabbalists before us wrote about, and we're learning from them about this. Where are we supposed to come to in the end of this process? What's this matter of freedom from servitude, from being slaves? What is that place? That place where we will discover integrality, a deep connection from one end to the other of all of nature, which emerges from the desire to bestow, the desire to love of the upper force. And therefore this force controls us all together and gives us a mutual connection, each for the benefit of everyone. And this is the wished for exodus from servitude of becoming freedom? Yes, from the servitude in our ego that doesn't let us escape it at the moment, and that by the influence of this coronavirus and other so-called bad influences, we do receive the possibility of running away from this Egypt, from this egotistical network that conquers us. Meaning the moving from being slaves to being free is moving from egotistical connections between people to mutual... My question. People today feel that the corona is the 11th plague. How do you see these things? What do you think about that? I don't know. Who am I to decide that after the 10 plagues that there is, that Moses counted with the crater, that I will continue the count? The count to get to 11? Yes, it's a little exaggerated. Okay, let's leave 11, put that on the side. Do you see the corona as a blow, as one of the 10 plagues, or something like that? Is it connected to the 10 plagues? How do you see that? We do need to go out of our ego. And our ego is very cruel. And we need to do certain actions here in order to take out of this special actions. We're not capable of doing this on our own, with our own forces, for us to convince ourselves that it's worthwhile for us to be good, nice, to love one another. That's impossible. Hence, to show us how we're causing it ourselves this bad, then from nature, all kinds of, let's say, viruses are revealed to us that show us the extent in which we are truly harming one another. And then we see in the relations between us, in all that we need to do accordingly, that there's no choice, that we have to correct ourselves. We need to sit at home. We need to do something. Not to harm one another. To stop taking out of earth resources that are not necessary. Meaning calm ourselves down with the way we're using everything and only doing so to fill our redundant ego. Do you see in this ego some kind of a modern plague or blow like the blows in Egypt? Well, you could say that it's of such a type, but it's only the plagues of the Exodus from Egypt were according to the 10 Sefirot. And that structure where there was a group or the people of Israel that needed to receive in order to emerge out of Egypt. That is to come out of the egoistic desire and continue to care for itself. Today, we're in a different degree. We already exited once, we were in a connection between us, and the connection that got corrupted through the ruin of the first temple and the second, and now we are already before the building of the third temple, meaning the connection between us to the extent that it will truly be a good, beautiful connection forever and ever. Meaning this good connection that you described in the beginning, where everything's connected in mutuality and complement, is actually described in the symbol of the third temple. Yes. Now, Corona today is a blow that doesn't come upon Egypt. It comes upon all of humanity, right? It gets the whole world. How do you see that? The blow today is global. It's global encompassing. Of course, this is the difference between the blows that were upon a small group of those who emerged from Babylon and then those who came out of Egypt to today, a big group that is all of humanity. Meaning we're coming to come to that point of where there's good connections between people. We're getting to a point where it all depends on the Creator. Now, the most important thing in this whole thing, you know, the story, the blows hurt, but in the end there's this thing that gives us hope, that they become free. Are we today also, all of humanity, all people, at the end of this story of this blow of Corona, are we supposed to become free? We must. Do you have hope that this will happen? With full confidence. Really? So share with us. What is your hope? What are you hoping for? Since this is the plan, the program of nature, it can't be any other way. We cannot do whatever we feel like. We nevertheless will do what nature obligates us to do. And at the end of this process of the obligation and the corona, we're supposed to be in an upgraded status of people who are free, people who are free from our ego. Explain, what does that mean? That our ego, our egotistical nature, where each thinks only of himself, will not rule over us, but rather we will be able to come out of that and think of others, of everyone, together. Just like I think of myself, I will think in such a way of all of humanity, even more than humanity. I'll add to that still vegetative and animal, and the whole universe, and also the force that fills and sustains the universe, which is the upper force. all those things, all that system, I will accept as my system that I live in and care for, and there is nothing in this system that is more or less, that I'm more concerned with or concerned with less. This is all, for me, one mechanism. There's something in this process that sounded like it's an evolutionary process. At the end of this process, we're supposed to create of us super creatures. We're not super creatures, but in truth, we are superior in the fact that we're supposed to feel the extent in which we and our work in overcoming our ego and coming closer to one another is the right work. Now say, to this beautiful, sublime, and advanced place, this corona blow is supposed to bring us there, like the blows of Egypt were to bring us there. How will the corona lead us to that beautiful place that you said? First of all, I see that there's already a change. All of humanity, under this corona, under this pressure, this blow, is sitting at home and not working, meaning not corrupting nature. It now just needs to decide what is truly necessary in order to exist, and all the rest we don't need. That's one thing. Secondly, we have sufficient time to learn why we live, what we live for, what the upper force wants of us, nature, which is the upper force. And that we will truly come to a state where we will all be friendly to one another, good, and there won't be a difference between nations and kinds of people, but rather everyone will have to be truly as one man in one heart. I understood the process generally. Now I want you to teach me a few definitions within this story of the tale of Passover. How would you describe the Egypt in 2020? Just like then, we could describe that the people of Israel recognized the fact that on one hand, we must come out of Egypt. There's no choice. And there are those and different degrees of people or groups that thought and didn't want and did want. Also today, there's people that understand that we can no longer advance with the same program that's truly destroying Earth and robbing it from all of its treasures and finishing with our entire lives, and that we are truly advancing to directions that are destroying everything about us. And it's too bad for our children that were born in this way, and what will they have in the future? And we're working 10 to 12 hours a day and are in traffic jams for hours before work and after. And we have entered some state that is completely stupid. It's not real. It's as if someone put us, like a little child, you put him in some game and he doesn't know what he's doing. You're pressing him and he's playing. Here too, we have done to ourselves. Our ego is playing with us this way. The corona came to shake us up and to enter us into our home and to say, wait, we need to do a little bit of scrutiny of what we're doing here. Who in this 20th century, 21st century is Pharaoh? Who would you define Pharaoh? Just like then, our ego, our egotistical nature that doesn't let us connect with still vegetative and animal in nature and to come to balance and to a calm life. Meaning you're not relating to Pharaoh as a certain leader in the world or a personality. No. What leaders do we have anyway that we can even think of in such a way? I don't know, each in his way of things, seeing things. But you're not relating to a certain modern-day Pharaoh. It's the ego in each of us, which obligates us to do actions that destroy our lives and the lives of others and nature of still vegetative inanimate. And for what? Just to feel ourselves that we are above them? Who in this story of ours today in 2020 is Moses? Before Pharaoh, there's Moses. Who's Moses? Moses is in each and every one of us. There's some force, thought, that tells a person that we're living wrong, that we can't go out of this. It's true that Pharaoh rules. We're under him in Egypt. But it's not okay. Moses is a poor thing. Why is Moses a poor thing? I remember that he stutters, really. Yes, he stutters, meaning he doesn't have the force to stand before Pharaoh. Why doesn't he have the strength? Is he afraid of him? He has the force, but he knows that you have to reach the quality of bestowal and love, and not to destroy nature, and not to destroy human society. But it's all about using the balance in the right way. And Pharaoh says, no, we're going to break. We will do everything. We don't care about anything. We will make more billions, and then we'll put them in some safe somewhere, and then every day more and more. And people, we don't care about people. And Moses has nothing to say about that. Who's going to consider people? Who's going to take into consideration regular life? Told me before that these are two forces that battle within each and every one of us. Could you look at it also as two movements, like two trends that are world trends? I mean, it's not just in the soul of each person, in each individual, but also in the world. Like two trends, one that's sanctifying the ego and to step on everyone on their head on the way to the top, and another short, kind of small trend that says, look, we're supposed to live differently. We're supposed to live in connection and love. Is it right to relate to it also on a global level that way? Yes. And the whole world, wherever they are, and those who are called Kabbalists, which talk about connection and complement and love. Yes. Now, the additional hero, we talked about Pharaoh, we talked about Moses. The additional hero in this whole thing is God. Who is God in 2020 in your eyes? Like always, it's the general, integral force of nature, which operates and upon earth and moves everyone, also Pharaoh and also Moses and also the people of Israel and also the Egyptians and all of humanity. The Creator, which is the general superior force under which everyone is in, we're all under him. He wants to educate humanity as his children for them to get to know his greatness, his uniqueness, and his love towards them. That he did everything in an ideal, convenient, nice way for them. And that specifically out of them suffering, even more, he suffers. Because he needs them to go through this educational period. And then, he will come to a state which is called, my sons have triumphed over me. Where all the people, the wise, are strong, good, rise above their egos, which he created to start with on purpose, for them to be even stronger than the ego he created, and will be in a connection between them, which is good and beautiful and perfect. At the peak of the story of the Haggadah of Passover, at the midnight, there's a miracle. God takes the people of Israel out of Egypt. What miracle are you awaiting in the year 2020? The exact same thing. The action of the fathers is a sign for the children. Meaning, I'm really hopeful that we will come to a desire that we do want to exit our Egypt. Not all the people of Israel, but those who are called today the spiritual people of Israel, which are those who want to exit. They are called the nation, Yashar Kel, directed to the Creator, Israel. You told me it was supposed to be global, that all the people, that all the nations, right, from all the nations, from all the world, whoever wants to join the ascent upwards in his ego, connects to us. And then, we do try to emerge out of our ego, and this is how we will exit. What Haggadah of Passover, what tale would you tell towards this holiday? What needs to be told today? I know in the story there's a sentence that says, and you told this to your son, that every generation, we need to say it. What would you say that's relevant to 2020, that will truly be the concentration of this story of Passover? What would you tell the people of Israel today? That they simply need to rise above all the differences to connect between them. And in the connection between them, they exit from the Egypt, from their egos, and come closer to God. This concept, connection above all the differences, is it something that requires a miracle? After all, it's against man's nature. The sages said, man's close with himself. He sees himself. He sees his own interests, his opinion. It's very difficult for him to connect, like you said, from the heart, with love to other people. Is that the miracle? Is that the process that's supernatural that's supposed to happen? Yes. And do you think that this miracle actually is, what is it essentially waiting for? We're waiting for God to do a miracle for us? No. God is the general force of nature. It's not some personality, God forbid. It's not an image or a name or anything like that. It's the general force that is in nature. And we can awaken this force, operate it, we can activate it, such that it will connect between us and raise us above our egos. And then we will be as one man in one heart. And by that we will be similar to God. And then we will be as the ones who know the good and bad. And then we will know how to observe ourselves and all of reality in connection and adhesion with Him. At the end of the Haggadah, there's a sentence that's filled with optimism. It says, next year in the built Jerusalem. How do you see it specifically from this great distress that we have today with the blow of this corona? What is it next year in the built Jerusalem? That we will come to a desire which includes within it all the desires of people in the world, that the land of Israel is as the land of the deer spreading all over the land. What does that mean? That wherever you go within a person, you feel the obligation of connection above the ego between everyone to everyone. And by this, we will come to a state in which towards us, God is revealed, as it is written, and they shall all know me from the greatest to the smallest. And by this, we build the system between us, the connection between us called the house of the Lord, upon which it's written, and my house shall be called the house of prayer for all the nations. And this is how, God willing, we will come very quick in our times to there. Is the meaning that between us a network will be built of connections from a different quality? Yes. How do you define God? Last question, within this network of connection that needs to be built? The general force which fills and builds and sustains this whole system in which we exist. He contains it all. Does it have to do with love with everyone? He is the love itself. He himself is the love. And that's the miracle you expect this year, that we'll come close to love? I really don't think it's a miracle. I think it's truly, truly before us. Just a little more. And especially if we do it together, we'll want it. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you too for being with us. New life, learning how to live good. All the best to us. Good day.